So we like sell drugs and we rob people and we are just trying to save up money to travel the world.
That was Erin Renee Roberts, who plays Nina in the play Sunset Baby. What Roberts is talking about sounds a little intense, but the real drama of the play comes from a father and daughter trying to figure out their relationship. This is Cut and Paste, and I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
I'm Nancy Fowler, and playing her father is Ron Himes, who of course is the founder of the Black Rep. He plays a revolutionary from the 60s, and they have very different ideas about how to make change in the world, which is something, of course, we're seeing today. So stay tuned for a scene from the play between these two characters, but first let's let Roberts tell us what the play's about.
I'm the daughter of two Black revolutionaries. My mom just died, and my dad comes back to get these letters that she wrote but didn't mail to him while he was in jail. And then the third character is my boyfriend, and we have a hustle.
When you have a hustle, what does that mean?
So we like sell drugs and we rob people and we are just trying to save up money to travel the world. So that's our relationship.
Out of curiosity, how is that kind of manifested on stage? You know, if you're not actually robbing somebody or hustling them on stage, like how do people see that that's going
on? Oh, we just talk about it and you see our money, you see our intake, you know.
So you
You see the guns. Mm-hmm.
So there's a central theme, I guess, which is the father-daughter
dynamic.
Theme and dynamic. Could you just talk a little bit about that?
You know, my parents are two, you know, famous Black activists, and they, I guess, did all that they could for me, but I don't see that, and I had to make my own way. My mom was a crack addict. You know, I blame my dad, and so we talk about, you know, he comes back and I'm like, who? It's like, I don't feel anything for you. I don't remember you. I don't really have this relationship with you. And I don't appreciate that you're coming back to try to act like we have this thing still. Like, I mean, like we even had anything. So, and by anything, I mean relationships.
Yeah, sort of an attempt to reconcile. The Kenyatta, the character I play, was arrested for trying to rob an armored truck. And so I spent a number of years in jail. And after being released, finds his daughter, who was probably 3 or 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old when he went to jail. So she has very little memory of him. And he did not maintain any real contact with the wife, the mother, and the daughter while he was incarcerated. Her knowledge of him is what she knows from her mother talking about him, which was up and down, dependent upon her state of depression or exhilaration. You know, there would be times when she would talk about him as, you know, the great activist, the one man who sacrificed all for the cause. And then there were the times when she was pining for the man that she loved who was no longer there.
And so seeing my mom happy and then seeing her crumble, you know, that played a toll.
I'm very curious in the idea that, like, there's this central character who's not there, the idea that there's this force of the mom who you don't necessarily see. How do you try and make that a real person that people can relate to?
These letters are really sort of one of the driving forces in the play. Mm-hmm. And so there are constant references to these love letters written by Ashanti X. There are conversations between Damon and Nina about the mother. The big sort of climactic moment between Kenyatta and Nina is all about the mother. It's all about Nina wanting Kenyatta to say to her all the things that he never said to Ashanti. And the other thing is the playwright Dominique Morisot has written a lot of music into the play. And so there's a lot of Nina Simone music in the play.
Breaking rocks out here on the chain gang.
The work song,
Feeling Good. Mm-hmm. Black is the color of my true love's hair.
Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And Nina is named after Nina Simone.
It connects me with what love is, what my mom felt love was, and it almost serves as something that could potentially link the father and daughter. it means something to my parents, so it's my link to them. It remains my link to my mom, you know, even though she's passed away. And he constantly is explaining why Nina Simone was so important to the revolution and why they felt like it would empower me to be named after her.
Black is the color.
Ron, you're a father of a son and a daughter. How does this resonate with parents sort of in a universal way?
The play looks at the sacrifices that one generation has made in an attempt to make the world better for the next generation. And look at the seeds that were attempted to be planted to also make it a better world for the next generation. As in, you know, society today and in the African American community, we are really not where those activists of another time hoped that we would be today.
I love the ground I'm wasting.
So, Erin, I'm curious then, you know, as someone from a younger generation, mm-hmm. how you relate to that idea.
Oh, I totally agree. I was, like, we were talking about the generation gaps, and we were talking about the difference between, and it's addressed in the play with a conversation that Kenyatta has with Damon. What Kenyatta and Damon talk about is, you know, it's me and my boyfriend. It's us two against the world. When my dad was like, it's me and my brothers. We're brothers and sisters, and we're all coming together, and we're all, you know, trying to make it a better community, while our community for me and my boyfriend are just, we're just watching out for ourselves, you know.
Do you see a parallel in society to what you just described?
Just in the play. I think that in society right now, it's still about a group. It's about coming together as a group. But then there are other people who aren't, you know, who are definitely being misinterpreted or exploited in different ways, so that, you know, everybody is pleased with the way that, you know, the Black community is looked at. It has to look disruptive. It has to look disrespectful when it's really about sitting down and having a conversation. And I think that that's kind of addressed in the play. You know, it's about older generations trying to understand why the young people are doing such violent things, when it's like, it's not about the violence, it's about demonstrating the pain or highlighting these different things that are happening to us.
Baby, you understand me now.
Right, and I guess there you see the generation gap once again. Because
he's like, yes, that, it's the same.
No, I think that, you know, there is a sort of a continuum in terms of activism. If you look at the movement of Black Lives Matter today, from early civil rights movement through the Black Power movement. But if you take a look at the community or society as a whole, not looking at the movement, but looking at individuals, individuals today are much more selfish
mm-hmm.
and self-centered, and operate in a sort of me getting mine and not having such a community view of being of service, of being supportive, and of being about being agents of change.
Is there a point in the play that you feel like is one of the most poignant moments, or a point in rehearsal that you feel mm-hmm. like you really touched that like it was a live wire?
There's a moment where Kenyatta brings some old photos to share with Nina. And I think there's a moment there, and, you know, it was about a week ago, we were looking at the photos, and I think that was sort of, you could sort of feel the father-daughter relationship that was never there before. And it was tender and touching and almost broke down the barriers that Nina has built to just almost accept her father and accept his attempts at reconciliation.
You say almost.
She just decides that she's not going to go with it. She's not going to give in to that emotion. And so she puts her shell back on, puts her wall back up, and attacks him.
Do you think that that is like a death knell for their relationship, or do you feel like that's a moment, like a setback on a way to growth?
It is definitely a final nail in the coffin of their relationship.
Just laughing because, I mean, just see the play because that's so exciting. That's definitely to be discovered when you see the play.
No, I was just wondering if you have a scene, just a short scene that you could do for us that kind of illustrates the conflict.
I need to know about those letters. Are they here?
I'm not telling you.
They belong to me.
No, that's where you weigh the hell off. They belong to me.
She wrote them to me.
She left them to me. It's in her will. So that you will understand what we do for love, Nina. That's her statement to me. They're mine.
You've read them?
It doesn't matter to you. You're not putting your hands on them.
I just need to see them.
No.
Yeah, you can really feel that, you know, that conflict in there. So why should we come see this play?
It's a really, really good production. It's got some great young talent. Aaron and Ryan Cunningham, two young actors in the community here, are doing great, great work. Dominique Morisot is one of the hottest young playwrights in the country right now, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to introduce her to St. Louis.
So soft and wondrous bay.
Because I haven't heard as much from you, like in the media, as we have from Ron, what was your story of how you arrived at this production?
I'm from St. Louis, and I went to school. I went to UMSL for 2 years, and then I transferred to Cornish College of the Arts in Seattle. So then I moved to New York for a year and a half, and I just moved back. I have worked with incredible artists, Jackie Thompson, directed me in Shakespeare in the Streets, The World Begun. From that moment to now, I met so many people who kept talking about Ron Himes. They kept acting him out. Like, everybody has a perfect Ron Himes impersonation. I don't have one yet. And then every 28-hour festival, the one-minute play festival happened in the Kranzberg, and Ron comes up to me, and I don't know who he is. So he's like, hello, do you know who I am? And I'm like, no. And he goes, I'm Ryan Himes. I need you to come read for me. And I was like, and I started laughing because everybody else had acted him out to me, you know? And so it was like, oh, this is so accurate. Like, that's really how he is, you know? I met his wife, Heather Himes, who was amazing. And she was like, did Ryan tell you that we want you to come read for us? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, yeah, we need you to come read for us. So then I go to the audition, and I'm thinking, I don't know how to read him. I don't know if it was good. I don't know, you know. And he was like, okay, come back for another call. You know, so again, it was like hearing about somebody and then seeing them and then realizing that they're human. Because Ryan Himes in St. Louis and the Black rep in St. Louis is a really big, really big name, really big company, really big experience, and everybody has a history with it.
You know what I mean?
That was Erin Renee Roberts, who plays Nina in the play Sunset Baby, and Ron Himes, who plays her father, Kenyatta. He's also the founder of the Black Rep. The play is showing at the Edison Theater through January 31st. This has been Cut and Paste.
Produced by Nancy Fowler.
And Willis Ryder Arnold.
The music you've heard throughout this podcast includes songs by Nina Simone, which appear in the play, or songs by local musician Eric Hall.
You can find the Cut and Paste podcast at stlpublicradio.org or download it wherever you get your podcasts.